You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, I'm glad to finally be talking to you. It was we were delayed by a day and then we were delayed by like another hour or so while I dealt with some toddler issues. So I'm very glad.
Toddler issues are often getting in the way of FPL managers everywhere.
That's true.
Young and old.
She's still awake. I can hear her right now. It's, you know, it never ends with the toddler. So I'm glad to be here talking about Game Week 36. Actually, really mostly talking about Game Week 37, but we have to talk about Game Week 36 at least at the start because you had one of your all-time best game weeks.
Before we talk about Game Week 36, should we tell all of our listeners that we're about to spoil everything that happened in Game Week 36? So if you haven't yet seen Game Week 36, you might want to pause the podcast, go back and watch Liverpool, Huddersfield, and see for yourself, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it.
We're not going to spoil Avengers or Game of Thrones on this podcast. Although I will note that I didn't think it was that dark. Okay, the fight scenes in Game of Thrones, I was able to see everything perfectly. So I don't know if I just have a better TV.
That's
or
that
what
rich
exactly.
4K TV that you have, Josh.
It was all fine. We turned off the lights and I could see everything perfectly. But I guess that was just me. I don't know.
The rich blackness on your television is so good that when Manchester United wear their black shorts, you can also see the black Adidas stripe that runs down the side of the shorts. It's incredible.
That's the thing I asked for when I bought the TV. So I'm glad I've
got it. As you mentioned, score check, game week 36. I had a stormer, 133 points. And you know, who knows if I can't imagine that I've ever scored more than 133 points, but even if I did, this still probably qualifies as my best overall game week. Mm-hmm. Game week rank of 4,690. I just can't believe I've ever had a game week rank that high. And
given the stakes and the time of the year, you never remember a great game week when it's like, you know, game week 7 or something. Like, they have a great game week. It's really got to come in like the last 5 to 10 game weeks of the season, right? Like, it's got to be like when the tension is ratcheted up the highest and, you know, things really, you know, like when a big game week can really, like, you can feel that difference, you know, where it's like maybe you were in third, now you're in first or, you know,
totally.
Whatever.
Yeah, and I've been rattling around the overall rank of around 15K for months. And for me to get inside the top 10K, I felt like it was going to take a miracle, and Game Week 36 kind of delivered on that miracle. And so my wild card gambit was to keep Mo Salah. Virtually no one kept Mo Salah on their wild cards heading into the doubles. Liverpool didn't. And I just felt like if I was going to make any sort of late season push, that was going to be my route. So I had this moment leading into game week 36. Do I triple captain or do I not? We talked about this on numerous podcasts leading up to this game week. You and I talked about it last week. We were out to dinner and you were like, so what's going on with the triple captain? How are you feeling? I think I told you I was 70% going to do it. And it was like an hour before Friday's deadline. And I had this moment of clarity. That's probably putting it too dramatically, but I finally found my resoluteness and I thought, you know what? This was the plan. The plan was to keep Salah. He was the differential. This is the fixture. It's Anfield versus Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. Do it. Play the triple captain. And I brought in Mane, another thing we've discussed on recent podcasts. Mane playing more centrally. He seems to be more rhythmic in his goal scoring than Salah. Why not triple captain Mane? Again, yes, stick with the plan. It's got to be Salah. And it totally paid off. 84 points just from that first fixture of the game
week. Amazing. Yeah.
And then everything else goes my way. Jota ends up getting an assist and a goal. Vardy with the late brace. Jimenez comes good again with the goal. Robertson and Mane. Laporte with three bonus points. The only duds in my team were Son, Lacazette, and my two Brighton defenders, Ryan and Duffy. And I've risen more than 8,000 spots, cracking into the top 5K. 4,367. As you can tell by the fervent way in which I'm speaking, Josh, I'm still quite excited about this turn of events.
Totally.
In the late season of my season.
Yeah. I mean, it's what you play for, you know, I totally understand. And and the fact that I am still ahead of you allows me to be extremely happy for you. Barely. I mean, you have the deficit. I didn't even think. I thought I was like the coast was clear, and now it's like you're breathing down my neck a little bit. So
It's the chip magic at work, right? Yeah, like you were ahead of me by about 100 points. I mean, you're having just an incredible sustained period of success this season in the top 500 coming into this game week. There was no way I was going to catch you, but to have it by 50 points, that's all down to the triple captainship and hitting it exactly right. Can you do it again with two more game weeks to go? Probably impossible. I think I've kind of done all the damage that I'm going to do, and I'll have to thank the triple captainship for that.
Well, I don't know if that's true or not, and obviously you can't play that way anyway. You can't play me versus, you know, as fun as it is to do the me versus you game, you know, it's like it's more like golf, as we often say. You know, it's like it's just you just got to play your best round.
Do you say that often?
I feel like I said it once on the podcast.
Okay, good.
But
that
I do think it's true.
Then.
I do think it is true. It's you really just have to play your best game. And if someone else is a little better than you that round or the season or whatever, then so be it, you know. You know that you played your best game. So
We have a ton of questions at the end of this podcast that kind of hit upon that philosophy. So we can talk a bit more about that near the end, like our late season strategies and do you play against other people or just play golf, as you say. But let's talk about your game week 36. How'd you do?
Yeah. I was fine. I finished on 84 points. I didn't play my triple captain. I mean, to be honest, I sort of had talked myself into playing it in game week 37. And part of it was just a little bit of anxiety about who was going to play in the Liverpool match. And then if I'm being totally honest here, I mean, this is one of those moments where like real life collides with fantasy. And obviously we all have real lives and like stuff going on. And I had family in town and we were like out and about all day. I was at Coney Island on Friday. You know, the match came out at 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon and, you know, this Firmino news breaks and I still have a free transfer. And so my brain is like very focused on whether I should bring Firmino in or not, which I'm like, been sort of debating doing all week. And then I sort of decided, okay, no, it's too risky to do it. And it was like, but I was like doing all this like on the subway, you know? So it was like, by the time I got home and I was like,
for those of you
team,
who don't know, the subway is a magical place in New York where no work gets done.
Right, exactly. So I had the day off from work. And so, because I was, because the family had done. So I just I couldn't, it was like I decided that, and then it was like my brain was still in don't triple, they'll play the triple later. But once I knew that Firmino wasn't playing, I mean, obviously that meant that Salah and Mane were going to play. And at that point, I really should have thought about triple captaining. And if anything, I actually could have considered burning four to bring in Salah. I'm not sure if I would have actually done that, but I almost definitely would have triple captained Sadio Mane. And it was, I just couldn't quite get my brain there. You know, it was like, I don't like to make those decisions right at the end. But now I feel like I really left 13 points on the table. And the fact that I think what I most likely would have done is just captain Mane, and a 13 point return from a triple captain is fantastic. I would have taken that. I would have been on 97 points instead of 84. And so now I feel like I kind of screwed up, and you know, thankfully it didn't hurt my game week, because I had enough other things. I mean, it hurt me overall a little bit. I moved from 510 or whatever to 780. So still in the top 1,000, still with a triple captain and two free transfers in hand. So, I mean, I'm in a very good position, and like finishing the top 500 seems like there's a very strong possibility of that. But if I had just had those extra 13 points, so I don't know. I mean, it's a, you know, it may be that Aguero or Sterling or whoever I triple captain ends up matching that or beating that. But what I don't like about it is I feel like I didn't play the right strategy, you know, and that's what, so it's kind of, it's like, I just, my gameplay was poor, you know, to go back to the golf analogy. I didn't pick the right club, you know? And so I'm just sort of,
I love a Schindler's List reference. And I always think of the end of Schindler's List when Oscar he's looking at his pins and his rings, and he's like, these could have freed or saved just a few more people. It's this anguish and regret.
And so I'm conscious of not, I don't want to talk about our teams too. You know, we'll move on for our teams, you know, after this, but yeah, I think there was just a feeling that like I'm on the verge of an all time best season, possibly the best season I'll have playing fantasy, you know? And it's like, you want to just make sure that you've considered
could
every
be your
angle,
last
you
season, know? Josh.
This could be my last game week. You know, that's why I always set that bus team.
Josh Landon, : the last game week.
So anyway, I was just kind of annoyed because I felt like I didn't play as well as I could have. So anyway, that's where we are. We'll talk a little bit, you know, we'll talk about game week 37, my decisions or decisions that need to be made later on in the podcast. But Brandon, that's enough about us. Let's quickly, we haven't had a chance to do this in a while, Brandon. Let's recap the always cheating Super League. Let's run through that top 10. Wow, Brandon, I'm looking at that 10th spot here, and I can't believe he is back in the top 10.
He's back. He was always there, much like Jaqen Hagar. In 10th place, it's Fabio Borges. This is, of course, the Always Cheating Super League, one of the greatest mini leagues in the world. Never too late to join. Go to alwayscheating.com and click the league tab. Yes, in 10th place, it's the man, the myth, the legend, Fabio Borges with Clichy's clean sheets. In 9th place, Miroslav Pujic, longtime league leader. He's taken a bit of dip in form. I can see a lot of big century marks up at the top of the table here, and I think Miroslav's 68 points hurt him. In 8th place, it's Richard Jenkins, full of flair. 7th place, Amel sees Amel's 11. In 6th, Konstantinos Orphanides.
I think he directed Mandy, actually. I don't
Well done. Love that movie. Great. Orange Bulldogs, the team name there. In 5th place, Andy Sullivan, Fantasy Foxes. In 4th, it's Krister Landro, Landro's 11. 3rd place, Paul Jones at Sky Player in FPL. And in 2nd place, Matty Fossum, no transfer lane. And in 1st place, the man, Matthew Shannon, Nacho Man, cracking 130 points this game week. Total score, 2,474, putting Matthew Shannon number 4 overall in the world. That's an incredible rank.
That's amazing. Wow. Congratulations to Matthew Shannon. That is fantastic. Matthew, I hope you're listening. And what's the secret, man? Send us an email. HailCheaters@gmail.com or reach out to us somehow.
Quick note for our friends out there who maybe you're a league commissioner and you're looking for swag or trophies to hand out at the end of the season for your mini league winner. We got in touch with some cool people at Fantasy Football Factory. You can find them at fantasyfootballfactory.co.uk. They might be helping us out with our own trophies later on at the end of the season. They're sending us some swag. They've got baseball hats and coffee cups and other cool stuff that you can pass out at the end of the season. So, go to fantasyfootballfactory.co.uk to check that out.
Brandon, we have some rants here. Joshua Biggs says, Captain Sterling to be different. Turns out I'm an idiot. 75 and minus four and a huge red arrow. Very demotivating week. Well, you know, if Gabriel Jesus was a less... We need like a selfishness index, don't we? You know, who's the most selfish player of all? I feel like Gabriel Jesus is so annoyed that he doesn't start these games.
Yes.
That he comes out in the 75th minute of these matches and he won't even look at it. It's amazing that anyone actually gives him the ball because they, if they do, they know they're not getting it back. You know, it is just, it's one speed. It's full blast shooting from any angle. But yeah, that cost me a goal as well.
Yeah, my heart does go out to Jesus. I mean, that, you know, that's got to be a competitive marketplace, the training ground at the Etihad. So he's got to try, but he is failing. That's the problem. He's failing. The word that sticks out here in Joshua Biggs' rant is demotivating. This is like a problem that can happen throughout the season. You have a couple of bad weeks. You suddenly become very demotivated. Mm-hmm. I guess it's good for Joshua that this is happening in game week 36. So he can just... He's only going to miss 2 weeks if he decides to quit.
That's right. I don't know. Maybe if he's still asking questions to a fantasy podcast, then he's still. So it's more motivation than like 3 million other managers.
Yes. Stay strong, Josh. Stay motivated, man. We believe in you.
Ian, FPL Strategic says, I honestly don't know what category this falls under. It says rant, humble brag. But can we just acknowledge that all you can do is laugh nature of FPL when you score a 93 and get a red arrow. God, that hardly seems possible. I know Ian's having a great season, but man, 93 with the red arrow. I mean, I thought my 84 was bad, but it was one of those scores that it's because you had such a massive score and you're sort of like in second place by me in a bunch of our mini leagues. It made me feel like I had this terrible game week, but really 84 was fine. You know, I don't even know what as a game week rank, I think it was like, 1.43, you know, 1.4 million, which is perfectly top 25%. Yeah. So, I mean, 93 is even better. So,
yeah. I mean, isn't it actually worse that I make like $500,000 more in annual salary than you do, Josh? I mean, doesn't that stick in your craw a little bit more than the game week 36 score?
You would think it would. Yeah. FPL Artwork says, this is a full on humble brag. This last one, FPL Artwork says, sold Wilson, bought Perez, got 111 points. Great, but, and then Larry David meme. I mean, come on, that is a total humble 111 points, and you're complaining? That's insane. Come on.
All right, that's my bad. I put the running order together today, and I slipped Artwork in there. So sorry, Artwork. That's a 1 week ban for a humble brag. You knew the rules going into this.
That's
so,
right. You tricked
we'll see
me,
you in game week 38.
You tricked. And what's worse is you tricked Brandon.
Okay, a quick Patreon update. We have some thank yous for new Patreon supporters. Amazing to get support from you guys so late in this season. At the Mbakani tier, we want to welcome Fahim, Oli Wayemi Adegoban. And I hope I did your name justice there, sir. We appreciate the support. And also Padful. I was really excited to see Padful in the supporter section here because we've interacted with him on Twitter for so long.
Yeah, very, very long time friend. Yep, yeah. Yep, very, very long time friend.
So if you'd like to just thank Josh and I or support what we do here with a few bucks here or there, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. What you get in return, some swag. You can get a second podcast each week with our exclusive Patreon podcast stream featuring our Q&A kitchen table sessions that we post late every week just prior to the deadline. So you have more real-time information. We're making those last minute decisions. I'm going to be recording the kitchen table session later this week about my decisions for game week 37.
That's right. Maybe we'll do a co-kitchen table for game week 38, right? Like kind of a final, you know, final prep before the final game week. That seems like that could be fun.
Yeah, I like that idea. We have big kitchen tables. It's a big, some people have big tent philosophies. We have big table philosophies.
That's right. That's right. We went to a big tent school. So there you go. All right, Brandon, let's take a quick break and we're going to get right into game week 37. All right, Brandon, game week 37 is here. Now, normally, you and I like to have a little bit of a theme on this podcast, you know, a thread that winds things together. You know, I'm all about ranking. I just want to be constantly ranking things or assessing
listicles.
Teams. I like a listicle. But in this case, it's Game Week 37. We're down to the nitty gritty here, man. There's big decisions, a lot of big, like, just like either or kind of decisions that need to be made. And so we're going to just talk about the big questions, like the most important things to consider when it comes to your final transfers, when it comes to captains, et cetera. So start off with Manchester United, right? So this is a team that we've all been kind of ignoring the last, I don't even know, 4 or 5 game weeks now, right?
And yeah, because they've been terrible.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the only thing I got was I got one Luke Shaw clean sheet like 4 weeks ago.
Yes.
And that was on a free hit chip. And that was like all I got from them.
Oh, I think he got you a Rashford assist and he lost you the clean sheet, if I remember correctly.
That's right. That's right. But I got a bonus point, so it kind of evened out. So Man United, and they played, I don't know, not bad, I guess. Like,
yeah, against
not
Chelsea.
Good either. I don't know. They were almost good in that match.
yeah.
But they do play Huddersfield and Cardiff in the final 2 weeks of the season. We've seen now that Huddersfield, it's like they're playing with 7 men on the pitch. You know, it's kind of one-sided.
Yeah.
They have nothing
to
play for.
Do you think they think they're playing 7-a-side and they have like the small goal, but in reality they actually have a normal size goal and nobody decided to tell them?
It's an important question, but one I don't know the answer to.
So that's the reason why we're talking about Manchester United at this episode, is because Huddersfield away in 37, followed by Cardiff City in game week 38, and that is at Old Trafford. Cardiff may very well be down at that point, so who knows what's going to happen there. So we have a lot of questions about who are we actually contemplating getting Manchester United assets in, and if they are, who would they be? Matt Seward on the Slack asked, what Manchester United assets, if any, are you considering giving their very strong fixtures? Does a Son to Pogba move make sense? Matt R. also on the Slack, are Manchester United defenders a trap? Red Dagger sneaks in here with a question about David De Gea's hands. he wants to know if David De Gea's hands are made of brie. If not, what kind of cheese are they made of? So let's talk about Manchester United's defense for a little bit, and then maybe we can get into the attack, Pogba and Lukaku, Rashford, etc.
I mean, I'd argue if your hands are made of any kind of cheese, that's a problem for a keeper, right? I mean, first of all, it'd be hard to get the glove on.
Sure. But it'd be tempting to just eat your hands.
Like, I think I saw that in a Kids in the Hall sketch once. it's not good. I mean, David De Gea is a shadow of his former self. It's terrible. People keep pointing to this, like, Spurs match in Game Week 22. That was, like, that might as well have been, like, 5 seasons ago. Game Week 22, give me a break. When did they last keep a clean sheet? It was Game Week, it was 27. It was the Liverpool 0-0. Liverpool's, like, final... The final 2 points that they shaved off their 7-point advantage. That was harsh, wasn't it? I just like stuck the knife in all the Liverpool fans there.
All Liverpool fans just tuned out. Yeah. So their defense is, for me, it's not feeling great, but you do have to look to Luke Shaw. I mean, he, helped to create and got the assist for the goal that Mata scored against Chelsea. And even against this weak opposition of Huddersfield and Cardiff, you do still fear for these clean sheets. So I feel like you have to hedge and go for a defender if you choose to, who has some sort of attacking prowess. And that's Luke Shaw, right?
I'm good with Luke Shaw as a move. I mean, you know, Luke Shaw is only 5 million. It's actually a pretty easy Duffy move if you still have Duffy in your squad. I mean, most people have at least some money on their bench, so they could move it pretty easily. I mean, you know, I don't have a lot of faith in this Man United defense, but yeah, like you said, he has a lot of attacking potential. He actually has 2 assists in the last 4 matches that he's played. He had to miss 2, you know, because of suspensions. He does rack up an insane amount of yellow cards, 11 on the season. And that's having missed like 10 matches. But yeah, I mean, 1 goal, 5 assists on the season. And they, I mean, you would fancy him to get some kind of attacking return in the Huddersfield match. It would not be the Cardiff match could actually be a little trickier. It depends on whether Cardiff has any chance of staying up going into that match. You know, it could be that there's just over
on a scale of 1 to 10, Josh, one being the least likely and 10 the most. Mm-hmm. What is the likelihood of Manchester United keeping a clean sheet against Huddersfield?
Big sigh on the mic. I'll say like it's a 7-6, yeah, maybe a 6. I think it's likely, but Huddersfield have scored a decent number of goals at home this season. You know, it's not like they're like useless on the road, but they have scored a couple of goals. They scored at home to Watford. They scored at home to Leicester. They scored those three goals away to West Ham. So they have scored a number of goals on the season. So I don't think it's inconceivable that they could score a goal in this match. The problem is this Man United defense is just like, it's just a patchwork of mediocre players, you know. Yeah. It's and a keeper who's lost his confidence or something, you know, or just like
he's haunted.
I don't know what's going. Yeah. I mean, I tweeted about this yesterday or whatever that match was. Yes. On Sunday, it was like, you know, he spilled that goal, spilled the ball that led to a goal in the World Cup match, the Spain-Portugal match. And it's like, he's been in the twilight zone ever since, you know, or that day he entered the twilight zone and he has not gotten out of it.
A Thinner-esque curse, right?
Yeah. I mean, for a keeper of his quality, who has started every single match for Man United this season, to have 7 total clean sheets in 36 matches. That is shocking, right?
Yeah.
You would have double digits every day, all day, right? I mean, he had 18. He has never had less than double digits. He had 18 last season, 14 the season before, 15 the season before that. I mean, it's wild. And they're challenging for a Champions League spot. It's not like this is like some 12th place campaign for them.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it really, it's you know, you can blame him a little bit, but I think you can blame their in and out defense, you know, a fair amount as well. I mean, Bailly has been injured all season.
Marcus Rojo came in and basically, I can't remember whose leg he tried to break with a red card challenge. But you're totally
been out all year. Yeah. So I think, I feel like, I think Shaw, you'd get him for the attack and return, and the fact that Huddersfield are, I mean, Man United will probably have the bookies odds best clean sheet chances this weekend, you know?
Yeah,
so
right.
I'd fancy them even over, I don't know, maybe even, I was thinking like Wolves at home to Fulham, but even then,
right,
you know, it wouldn't be shocking if Fulham scored a goal.
Yeah. All right. So let's move ahead to Manchester United's attack. Cascade United, it says, is Lukaku a no-brainer for the last two game weeks, Huddersfield and Cardiff, plus a possible injury for Rashford? Rashford, side note, he has a shoulder issue.
Right.
And Dinnery's site has him listed as a May 5 return, so highly doubtful for this weekend. So we'll have to still monitor that through the week.
Yeah, it throws off my plans a little bit, to be honest. I was considering bringing him in. I think...
Yeah, but Cascade United, just to finish, goes on to highlight the fact that Lukaku is known as a flat track bully. FPL Jon Snow chimes in on the Slack. Is Lukaku viable against Huddy and Cardiff, or is he still, this is important, is he still too fat?
Well, what has he done? It was like he went shoulder to shoulder with somebody. I can't remember who it was now. And it was hilarious. And he just like bullied them off the pitch. And I was like, yeah, that was like, what a great move from Lukaku. But I mean, there's nothing like that I've seen from him that like makes it seem like he hasn't scored a goal since game week 29, you know?
Yeah.
He hasn't had an assist since game week 12, you know? I mean, like, and he's super expensive. Like, you'd have to like, you know, rearrange your team to bring him in.
Yeah. I think, it's who would you get rid of to bring the gamble of Lukaku in? Yeah, there is the allure of Huddersfield, but I'm looking at getting rid of Lacazette or Jamie Vardy. And Jamie Vardy would be the lead candidate, even though he's in exceptional form. We have to talk a bit more about him later in the pod. But it's City, and that's just a terrible fixture for him. City away. Or Lacazette, who has Brighton at the Emirates. So you have to favor Lacazette. I just don't know who I'm getting rid of for Lukaku. And I agree with you. You could make a better case if Rashford were healthy to bring Rashford in for one of these two guys, just because of the affordability of Rashford and what you could then maybe do in your midfield.
Exactly.
Just help improve your team. You're bringing in Lukaku as a gamble, and you're probably – denting the quality of your overall team in the process.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. So it just exactly. You've got to take from somewhere to bring in Lukaku, which to me makes him, I mean, just like, I don't know. It just feels like a I don't hate it, to be honest. I mean, okay. You know, if we're talking about if I were doing well, if I were having a good season, if I were, you know, in first place, no, I don't do it. But if I'm 37 points back with two weeks to go, I mean, sure, bring him in and captain him. You know, I mean, the guy loves he's always been a flat track bully. You know, I mean, would he, you know, could he get a brace or a hat trick away to Huddersfield? Sure. Of course he could. You know, and then so you bring him in, hope he does that, and then you just hope no one else does well, you know, like hope Aguero goes off in the 8th minute with an injury or something.
So the other person we have to talk about, of course, is Paul Pogba. Now, right. You had a plan to get Pogba in at some point recently. Where are we on that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just can't decide what to do. Partially it's because Vardy has been so good that it makes it hard for me to drop him. You know, I mean, even with Man City and Chelsea in his final two matches, it just doesn't feel like something I particularly want to do. You know, I mean, he's challenging for the Golden Boot. He's in great form. I mean, he has whatever it is now. It's something like, you know, 12 goals in his last, you know, 10 matches. It just, you know, it would take some courage to drop him right now. Mm-hmm. Man City is not an easy match, but I mean, that is the kind of team he can absolutely score a goal on. But I could also see myself dropping him, you know.
To agree with you, if the chance that fell to Chris Wood this weekend early in that City match falls to Jamie Vardy,
that's a goal.
That's a goal, right? I agree.
Yeah. So if I were to do it, what I would do is I would downgrade Vardy to somebody, and then I would upgrade Deulofeu to Pogba. And that would leave me 6.6 million, which, you know, is like a decent amount, but you can't really get anybody you like really want at that price. Even Callum Wilson is 0.1 too expensive. Okay. And I guess he'd be the one who'd be kind of tempting. So I also like never get Wilson right. I like never seem to bring him in at like the right time. Yep. So I've had him for 3 game weeks this season. It was 3 consecutive blanks. So I don't know. I mean, it feels like if anything, I'm sort of looking at like who the untouchables are on my team right now. And, you know, I think, you know, it's Mane, it's Sterling, it's probably Ward-Prowse, you know, given his price. Aguero, Jimenez. What's that? Ward-Prowse, exactly. So, I mean, but, you know, the one spot where I could Deulofeu and Son are the two players who I could see moving. And, you know, Son to me is just like, he's just not, I don't know. It just, his form has not been great, right? I mean, he's got 4-2, 3-2 in the last 4 matches. It's 8.9 million. You know, he's really expensive. Uh-huh. Pogba has 2 great fixtures. It's a tempting transfer for sure.
It is. I mean, the tempting thing with Son is actually the captain of my bus team right now. And you have to take into consideration that Son is yellow carded out of the midweek fixture. So he's nailed on to start against Bournemouth away. Will he have any quality teammates around him also playing? It's hard to say. And yeah, how much do you put into his recent form? If he has a rest midweek, then maybe he comes back against Bournemouth and he looks a lot better. For me, I think I want to hold on to Son quite a bit. I don't want to jump in. Or maybe we can just squash our Spurs section right here. Dave C. wants to know, should we sell Spurs assets? We also have a question from FPL Pistolinas. Currently owning Son and Eriksen, what should I do, stick or get rid? As I said, I feel like Son feels immovable from my team. I don't know that I want to be doubled up, just given how fatigue is visibly creeping into that Spurs team, and they will have a really tough match against Barcelona. So Eriksen, if you're talking about
Ajax,
yes, exactly. They play Ajax. So if you're looking for someone to move for Pogba, Eriksen, that's a pretty stellar move right there, Eriksen to Pogba.
Yeah, and especially because that does free up something like $1 million, which could be used to upgrade one of those Brighton defenders too. Even if you don't do it this game week, you can do it next game week. I mean, the part of the problem for me is that I have sort of two different And I know I'm talking about my own team a lot, although I feel like the problems I'm talking about are problems that a lot of other people have too, which is that, you know, there's this feeling that you want to like hit the home run with your transfer. You want to bring in the Paul Pogba, you know, before mm-hmm. these easy fixtures. But I do worry that I'm neglecting my defense, and I still have these two Brighton defenders, and they really have two unplayable final two fixtures, right? I mean, they play Arsenal away in Man City at home. I mean, those are awful fixtures. I mean, Duffy, in some way, it's funny because I actually have Bednarek starting right now away to West Ham. You almost want to just go Duffy there, right? Because couldn't you just see Duffy scoring a goal on those Arsenal center backs? It just feels like that's you know, you don't always bring him in for his attacking threat more than you would his clean sheet, you know, ability.
I agree with that logic. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but again, you know, if you could just move Duffy to Shaw, isn't that a better move, you know, than moving Son to Pogba or downgrading Vardy to move Delafeu to Pogba? I don't know. So it's just these tricky moves, you know, and I do think this is especially if you're leading, you know, in your mini league, this is the time when you do have to think about defense a little bit and you just want to like make sure like your full 11 is strong, you know, mm-hmm. and that you just don't have any glaring weaknesses, you know, so I don't know. It's always it's tough, but I think you're right. I think Son stays, Eriksen goes. I think that's the consensus. As far as the defense goes, I mean, you know, I wouldn't be dropping any of their players. I wouldn't be bringing anyone in either. You know, I have Lloris. I'll probably start him the next two matches, and like I don't feel great starting him away to Bournemouth. You know, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You know, Bournemouth, they completely switch off at least once a month. So it could be your weekend.
Get them the right time. Right. Yeah.
We talked about Vardy a second ago, but we have a few questions that are kind of miscellaneous striker chat to throw into the Vardy conversation. So we talked about Vardy's form. Eric Medbo asks if we hold him or which player could we viably replace him with? Maybe Marcus Rashford, assuming he were healthy, which it looks like he probably isn't. Steven on Slack also wants to know if we keep Vardy despite the fixtures. And then we can get into other possible striker options. Mr. FPL Liam wants to know if we can continue to ignore the goal-scoring machine that is Shane Long. Also, shockingly, a few questions about Mitrovic, who has scored one goal since February. So good on you, Mitrovic. Joao Montero wants to know if what to do with Mitrovic. Also, our friend Dave Wegner-Lodahl, he brought in Mitro and is looking at Fulham's relegation bounce that they're currently experiencing and the clean sheet odds at Fulham. And this affects other strikers like Jimenez. Jimenez will be playing Fulham in game week 37. Fulham's suddenly an impenetrable fortress of a defense.
Please, illuminate us, Brandon. What is going on with Fulham? How is this happening? Like, what's the deal, man?
It's like one of those things where, you know, when you stop caring and when you stop thinking about it, suddenly you're incredibly good at something that you once weren't.
Okay. It's that simple. Okay.
I mean, I no one is going to sit here and tell you that Scotty Parker is a brilliant tactician because he's not. Right. No one's going to sit here and tell you that Tim Ream is suddenly Virgil van Dijk in Premier League quality because he's not. God bless him. So who knows? I don't know what's come over them.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not going to last. I think I can guarantee you that.
You know, while we're talking, by the way, I'm sort of like talking myself into this Lukaku thing.
Okay. Let's go back to that. Let's talk through it. Tell us more.
If Rashford really is out, then, and it's just Lukaku, I mean, like, it's not a bad, and you don't want to move someone like Son to Pogba. I don't know. I mean, like, it's, I can sort of see it, you know? I mean, it's a little bit of a punt, but he did look pretty good in that match, right? Like, I mean, it's not that he looked like he like was like someone who could score again, but he looked like he was like up for the match, right? Like, it felt like he was like trying.
He set Shane Long up for Shane Long's assist. So, you know, Lukaku he doesn't get a lot of credit for his football brain, but mm-hmm. you know, a lot of the crosses that he sends in when he's on the wing. And
Did you say Shane Long? You meant Luke Shaw, right?
Yeah, Luke Shaw, man. Suddenly I have Mr. FPL put Shane Long's name in my head. Incredible. I mean, Shane Long is in such great form. Surely he'll be striking for Manchester United next season, right, Josh?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, he actually is in really good form, by the way. It's weird how he like has these like little streaky moments every season, doesn't he? And like, it's a little like a Jose Perez, although
totally.
It's Perez. What's going on with Perez? Is he like, we don't really know. He's just like, he's got a knock, right? I mean, he had to leave the batch early, but we don't know if he's like totally just hip injury is what the site says right now.
Yeah, latest is hip injury. So who knows? It's the Shakira syndrome. I just want to flag on Mitro in our sort of potpourri of striker talk. Mm-hmm. Mitro away to Wolves doesn't really interest me, and he's way out of form. Last game week of the season, though, Fulham are at home against Mitro's old club, Newcastle. That's, you know, that's the narrative game, if you want to play that. And mm-hmm. I think if you have Mitro, I would be very tempted just to ride out game week 37 to see what magic might happen in 38. Because his desire to score against Benitez to end the season before he goes back to the dregs of the championship, be a pretty strong impulse there.
That's true. Although I wonder if he actually does go to the championship. Maybe he ends up going to like, you know, Shakhtar Donetsk or something next season. Although I guess he was good in the championship last year too. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see if he stays. They may get one extra year out of him. I don't know about Ryan Sessegnon though.
So you're talking about dropping Vardy for Lukaku, it seems.
Well, I mean, I'm just talking about it. I mean, part of, you know, this is like, again, I mean, even as I was talking about it, I was sort of thinking there is like you have to like sort of think like holistically too, you know, about where your gaps are. And for me right now, I mean, I have two Man City players and I have two Liverpool players, right? I have Mane and Robertson. I have Sterling and Aguero. In theory, I feel like my transfer should be built around bringing in more of those players, you know? Like, it does seem like the safest move is to have, you know, a second Liverpool defender or possibly a Man City defender too. Like, just sort of like shore up spots where people have those players, you know? So, a Lukaku move feels like it's all offense and maybe not enough defense. Mm-hmm. So, it's a fun idea because I just love to be really attacking, but I don't know if that's. I don't know. I mean, if it was game week 25, I would never consider it, you know, because it's game week 37, it's a little more tempting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't captain him or anything like that if I did it, but I don't know. I'm just sort of talking out loud here. I'm sort of like, I don't want to say like I would never consider Lukaku or that he stinks. And then suddenly Friday morning, I'm like releasing my team and I've got him there, you know, with the captain's armband or something. But I understand the viability of it. I just think it's probably a little too risky.
Now, you mentioned the fact that you have Raheem Sterling in your midfield there, Josh. And I, combing through the questions for today's pod, I was shocked to see a handful of them sort of exhibiting some anxiety around Raheem Sterling. Now, he had a blank, God forbid. But if you're like me, if you have Salah, chances are you probably don't also have Sterling. And so now the question is, if you're without Sterling, do you do whatever you can to get him in for the last 2 weeks of the season? Or are we starting to get nervous about any of this? We got a question from James Quirrell. Is moving Salah to Sterling, if you already have Mane, complete madness after this week's events? Alex on the Slack, is Sterling worth rejiggering your team for a bit? For these last two matches, especially if you already have Aguero, and FPL fan is talking about trying to get Sterling in or to go for Pogba instead. Now, I'll set you up here, Josh. I don't think you can compare Pogba and Sterling. I would bet money that Sterling outproduces Pogba over the next 2 weeks, even though Pogba has these really bankable fixtures. I am feeling very exposed without Sterling, and that's top of my move list is actually Salah out for Sterling. Salah, thank you very much. It's been glorious, epically glorious, but I feel like I've squeezed the juice out of him at this point. Now I'm sort of moving into a consolidation point of the season, and I guess he only has, what, like 29% ownership, Sterling. So it's not on the level of Aguero. 23% ownership for Sterling. Aguero is above 40%, but it's just something about Sterling and his midfield points that really kind of scares me.
Yeah, well, and Sterling's ownership in the top 10K is like 70%, you know, so it's significantly higher there. I think it's a... I don't know. I mean, the question is whether Salah to Sterling is like a complete neutral move. I mean, it's in some ways it's not neutral at all because you do save about $2 million with the move, and that could be used to make a big move somewhere else. You know, I mean, that $2 million moves Vardy into my beloved Romelu Lukaku, for example. I don't know. I mean, I think that in terms of the point returns that you're going to get from those two people in the final 2 weeks of the season, I don't know. I mean, it feels like, if anything, I think Salah probably outscores Sterling, you know, maybe not by much, maybe by 4 points or something. But it doesn't feel like Sterling is any more essential than, I mean, OK, I don't know. I just don't play that way, you know, that sort of like defensive, like, I mean, I don't know. I feel like I'm talking myself in circles now. There's like an element of defense that I want to play, but like, to me, Salah, like moving Salah to Sterling is not the kind of move I would ever make as a fantasy manager, because it feels too... I would only make it if I needed that $2 million to upgrade somewhere else, you know, because I just don't see... I mean, Salah to Newcastle, I think he could, you know, do very well in that match. And if I had other problems in my team, maybe if I had just... If I had no issues, if my team was like solid, like ready to roll for game week 37, no issues anywhere, then yeah, maybe I move Salah to Sterling. But if I had like a defensive problem that I needed to fix, or a attacker or something, I would do that before I made that move.
Well, generally, more generally speaking, how are you feeling about Raheem Sterling going into the last 2 weeks, not considering any other midfielders?
I feel good. I mean, he's always involved, you know. I don't know. I guess I expected a little more from him out of the Spurs and Man United matches. But, I mean, those are tough matches, you know. And even the Burnley away match is not an easy one. I mean, Burnley gave them a real fight, you know. If Gabriel Jesus passes the ball, he probably scores, you know, a goal, and it's 2-0 in that match. You know, so I don't know. I felt like he had a golden chance in the Spurs match too. You know, Gazinga made an incredible save near the end of that match. So, I mean, you know, if you weren't watching these matches and you just looked at his returns, you might be like, is he worth it? But, you know, I think that he is, you know, I don't know. I like Sterling. I think he's great. I think he's captainable this weekend. I do like Aguero a little more as a captain. I don't know. If you had both, who do you think you'd captain this weekend?
Aguero, yeah. And if I could, so I don't have any City attacking assets. I just have Laporte in the back line. Yeah, and if I could bring in one attacker, it would be Aguero over Sterling. The problem is I just can't fit Aguero in because of my team setup. So the easier move is Salah to Sterling. And I honestly, for me, I like the City fixtures, Leicester and Brighton. Better than Newcastle Wolves and the rate of scoring. Like I know City can, even though Liverpool just put 5 past Huddersfield, they don't do that every week the same way in which Manchester City do, even though they've been struggling a little bit of late. 1-0 against Burnley. We kind of expected that kind of scoreline from that Burnley match. And if you're looking at Leicester, who will play a more open game, and then Brighton, who stink.
You're right. That Brighton fixture is insanely good. And I guess you're right. I mean, I was sort of talking about, I was just comparing Sterling and Salah in a vacuum. But yeah, if you have no Man City attack at all, then it probably does make sense to move Salah to Sterling just to have some coverage for that match.
All right. If I finally brought you around to my way of thinking.
Well, yeah, I just wasn't thinking about it in the right way. Yeah.
All right. Let's tackle one more issue before we take a break. We're going to talk about, you guessed it, Ryan Babel, AJ on Slack. What do you think about Ryan Babel as a differential for the last 2 weeks, replacement for De Lufeu? Carlo on Slack also wants to compare Babel and Tielemans. Once a great corner shop, now a great Premier League player, Tielemans. who should we transfer in over the last 2 weeks? Thinking of getting rid of Decore. Man, people are just not feeling these Watford midfielders for the run-in. Last question comes from Julian on our Slack. Is it possible to have a podcast question on Sun replacements? Is Babel the answer? Now, right. I've stated my feelings on Sun, so let's just talk about Babel and maybe a few of these other budget midfielders. So, yeah, I think I made my feelings clear that this Fulham bounces. I just don't see it continuing for another two matches. It's just such a fluke.
I just feel like moving any of those players, like Ryan Babel, that feels like a luxury transfer to me. Like, you know, it's like, I guess I was sort of talking about the Sterling Salah move like that before. It's like, I would only move De La Feo to Babel if I had no issues, no problems, no moves I wanted to plan for game week 38. I was completely set and everything was great, you know? Then if so, maybe. But even then, I mean, you know, like Wolves, like, there's a decent chance they keep a clean sheet that match. You know, I mean, Fulham have been winning some matches, but it's not like they're like just destroying teams, you know? It's a couple of 1-0 matches, you know? I mean, it's not that impressive.
Yeah, and I agree with you. These are the types of transfers, like one mediocre midfielder to another mediocre midfielder, that make a lot more sense at the early and midpoints of the season, where you can actually take transfer, the long view.
Much like Fulham's champagne football, Brandon.
Yeah, exactly. the flat champagne, so to speak. But I mean, what I'm trying to say is, it's not luxury earlier in the season when maybe you're taking a chunk of 5 to 6 fixtures, maybe a double game week factoring into it. But at this point, I'm with you. Maybe you probably have another transfer elsewhere in your team that could be sharper and more attacking.
All right, final question before we take a break. Game week 37 is this weekend. Is there a certain poetry in Brendan Rodgers joining Leicester with just a few game weeks left in the season? Man City's, you know, all they have to do is win their last two matches. And the manager who was there for the famous Gerrard slip, right? The manager who let the Premier League title slip away now has a chance to redeem himself, right? Yeah. To help gift the title for Liverpool, right? If you can just get a result in that man, just a result, just a draw would be enough, right? A draw in Liverpool, win their last two, and Liverpool win the league. Can he make it happen? What do you think the chances are that Leicester do something in that match?
The feeling I get from Brendan Rodgers is he's the sort of guy that goes out there and tries and believes only to fail miserably. So I do not think it's going to happen. I think City are just going to wax Leicester.
Yeah, I think you're probably right, but it'd be fun. It'd be fun if it happened.
Maybe you're trying to elicit for me some more poetry, but I think it would be fun for sure.
Yeah, it does seem unlikely though, doesn't it? Yeah.
The symmetry goes even farther in that Benitez, former Liverpool manager now at Newcastle, has the opportunity to gift Liverpool help them by basically just playing Rondon in goal. I could see that happening.
Just playing Rondon. All right, Brian, let's take a break. We'll get back to our lightning round section.
All right, Josh, now's the time in which we talk about Starting 11. Starting 11, of course, the live Premier League fantasy app for your iPhone or Android. Play Starting 11 for free. Or, more importantly, play Starting 11 for cash prizes. Any day in which there are two or more Premier League matches, pick your best 11-man squad. There are no budget restrictions. Starting 11 is very cool, Josh. It's so cool that you can make live in-game substitutions. You cannot do this in a regular FPL game, but when you see that De La Feo, it's just not going to be his day in the 65th minute, just yank him out of your starting 11 team and replace him with Diego Jota, you're good to go.
I do agree with you, even though I will say, Brandon, that saying that something is cool is the surest sign that something is not cool. I think, you know, it's like when your mom calls something cool. But yes, I do agree, Mom, that it is. Yeah. It's a very cool app.
But don't take it from us. Take it from thousands of players worldwide who are competing on starting 11 for cash and for pride. Those people know what's cool, not us. So if you have an iPhone, you can play for cash in the UK, US, Canada, or Germany. If you're an Android device, cash games are also live in the UK, or just pick up the app and play for free wherever you are. Go to starting11.io for more details and video tutorials, or just visit the Apple App Store or Google Play Store to download the app today. Josh, you know that what's not cool is gambling on things that you don't understand. Mm-hmm. Starting 11 has all the hallmarks of fantasy Premier League games. It's something that we can really wrap our head around. So be smart and participate in a game that you do understand.
Right, exactly. Take all the fun of a 38-week cash league and compress it into one game week, right? Especially if your season is one day, exactly. Take all that fun and compress it into one day, and especially if your season is kind of maybe you're ninth place or something. I've been there before, you know. Add a little juice to the final 2 weeks of the season. Play some starting 11. All right, Brandon, lightning round is here. 30-second answers for each question. Sean Murphy says, captain picks for 37 and 38. Can we ignore Hazard, Pogba, Son, and Shane Long the rest of the way, or do fixtures enhance the form? I think that we can ignore Hazard. There was a picture of him yawning in the warm-up to the Man United-Chelsea match.
Not a good sign.
Let me rephrase this question. Would you consider captain? I mean, okay, I know you got your armband on Son right now, but
yeah.
Assuming that you have a Man City attacker going to 37, would likely. You consider looking past Man City or Liverpool for your captains for the final 2 weeks of the season?
If I had City attackers, I think that I might just armband City for the next 2 weeks, no problem. Aguero or Sterling, as I mentioned, I love that Brighton fixture in 38, especially.
Yeah,
Liverpool is definitely below Manchester City in my captain ratings. I think I mentioned this earlier. They just haven't exhibited consistently throughout the season that they'll score more than two goals in a game. And with the Barcelona tie coming up, it will kind of divide their attention. And I'm not suggesting that there will be any rotation or anything like that, but it's not ideal when you're looking at when you're comparing to a Manchester City squad. They have nothing else going on until they have the FA Cup final after the season is over, and they need to win these two games. I think it's City captaincy for both these game weeks is probably the easiest and best solution, like the Occam's razor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I that's what I think. I just go with, exactly. I mean, everything you just said, like they have the most to play for and they have the best attackers too, you know? I mean,
yeah, probably don't need to overthink it
too much. Karen Costell says, who would you triple captain and when, assuming you don't use it this week? Well, if I don't use it this week, there's only who would want a triple captain game week 38? I think in that case, you've got to go Man City. There is a temptation to wait till game week 38 for sure. Especially for that Man City Brighton match where you would expect them to score like 30 goals. Game week 38 is just a weird game week. It always is. You don't know what's going to happen this game week. It could be that Liverpool lose and Man City win and suddenly it's kind of over, you know?
Yeah.
And then you don't know who's going to even start those matches, you know, in game week 38, cause it won't matter anymore. I think it's just a little too risky. And so I think I'm going to go game week 37.
You had noted on our Twitter feed at Hell Cheaters that Aguero has scored 2-3 different hat tricks this season. And they're always going to come at home they're away in 38, they're home in 37. So that would be the time to go for broke with Sergio Aguero. He loves playing at the Etihad. He loves scoring there. I think you seize the moment in 37 if you're eyeing up Sergio Aguero.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm planning. I won't even beat around the bush. I mean, I think Aguero home, Leicester, is three hat tricks at home already this season. It feels like I'd be overthinking it if I went anywhere else. So, let's move on to the next question. Oshan Ghosh, who's been very nice all season, by the way. He's shared a lot of podcasts, done a lot of nice shares on social media. And Brandon, we're getting down to the final couple game weeks, final couple podcasts here. We got to thank the nice people. So Ocean Ghost says, thanks to the podcast. I've had a great season. Any advice on how to defend my overall rank, which is 35K in the remaining game weeks, aside from picking high ownership players, I can't think of much else. Figured since you guys helped me get in this mess, you might help me stay there. I think that's pretty much it. High ownership players. I mean, I think that the classic piece of advice, and one that I'm going to try to ascribe to as well, which is fix your weakest link, right? So I think that is a great way to defend your rank, which is look at your team. It's like there's the home run picks, you know, the huge movers, you know, the Romelu Lukaku types. And then there's the moves that are more sensible that are probably the safest. And, you know, and so for me, that's probably Duffy to Luke Shaw, you know. Just a clean, simple, easy move. Maybe I even hold one transfer for game week 38, you know, as tempting as it would be to go for a huge move. So, you know, I think that that's the only other thing I could think of.
Yeah. TRPLR, his question from the Slack kind of plays into this. Are you two going bold or playing it safe for these final two game weeks? And I like this idea you're putting forward, Josh, of just fixing the weakest link and not going for the home run. I think for both of us, we're having really good seasons, and I'm looking to consolidate a rank in the top 5K. I don't want to go bold and go for broke and screw it up and somehow fall out of the top 10K. That would be a loss for me. So I'm erring toward playing it safe the final two game weeks. And yeah, I like this idea. Fix your weakest link. And when you're looking to fix these weak links, look for the most straightforward. I mean, don't look beyond the obvious choice. Don't get cute.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Don't get cute. Don't, you know, unless if you're, yeah. And again, if you're 37 points down, sure. Get cute. Why not? Right. I mean, you know, go for it. But yeah, if you're holding on, then just, yeah, if, you know, shore up your weaknesses. All right. Two questions left, Brandon. Kuhn Karam says, two fixtures left and everyone has a target winning a mini league or spending an overall rank of XXX. Can you suggest differentials that can potentially make the difference for game week 37 and 38? Most of us will have 2 to 3 transfers to the end of the season. So transfers are gold. I think we've talked about a few already. It's somehow become the Lukaku cast. That was never the intention. who else stands out to you? If you're just looking at the fixtures for the final two game weeks.
Yeah. Crystal Palace does stand out to me. Cardiff away and then Bournemouth at home in game week 38. Will Zaha. Yep. I remember game week 38 last season was a big match for Crystal Palace. PVA really came good. I don't remember what part Zaha played there, but if anyone is explosive and not really on a lot of people's radar right now, I think it might be Will Zaha.
Yep. Yep. And even the defenders, I mean, Patrick Van Aanholt too, Aaron Wan-Bissaka, of course.
Oh,
I mean,
yes, the old friend.
It's a great cheap option. I mean, you know, if you just don't have any money available, but you want to get rid of one of those Brighton defenders, then a dunk to Wan-Bissaka move, I think, is very sensible and will probably net you some returns the final two game weeks.
All right. So the last question we're going to answer comes from Doug Jones. Who do you not own now or even haven't got around to owning all season, but think will be great next season? So anyone that you've been just sort of jealous of or eyeing from afar all season and they're nailed next year?
I was trying to think about someone I just hadn't had at any point this year. And, the player who stood out, maybe because I was just reading an article about some of the top young players, but Ben Chilwell is a player that I have not had at any point this season. Mm-hmm. But I just think he's a fantastic player. I think he's only going to get better as an attacking player. I think Leicester stand to be a lot better next season too. I think they could be kind of in that like Everton range of, you know, maybe sixth place or seventh place, you know, right? Like kind of pushing for maybe a Europa League spot. And I don't know. I just really like the way he plays. And, you know, I think he feels like a very modern left back too, you know, so
agreed. Yes. Yeah.
He's, Yeah.
My guy would also be Lester. If he sticks around, Tielemans is nailed to my game week one squad. I think he looks pure class. And if he wants to hang out and spend a little bit more time with creepy Brendan Rodgers, then more power to him. I guess we have to bone up on Sheffield United and Norwich City over the summer and whoever else gets promoted. You were telling me about Norwich's player of the season, Teemu Pukki.
A name like that,
he's just like an always cheating talisman in the making, right?
Yeah. He's like 28 or 29, but he's in an amazing season. I think he flamed out in the Bundesliga a few years ago, but he's a Finnish international. I'm looking forward to seeing more Teemu Pukki next year.
Absolutely. All right, so that's the end of the lightning round. That's the end of this podcast. I think you can kind of glean what our plans are for game week 37 from that discussion. If you want to know more, you can become a Patreon subscriber and tune into the kitchen table session that we'll be posting later this week with some Q&A and a look into exactly what transfers I'm going to be making for the weekend. If you want more information on Patreon, just visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. And Josh, do you want to thank our producers this week?
I do, yeah. Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Carl Rasmus, Leni Granley, Chris Howell, Rafe Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., Trevor Ingerson, Chris Carter, De Big Gaffer, Danny Evans, Babas Coons, Jeff Who's Been a While, Ben Grant, James Holland, Matt Ritter, Oyvind Anderson, and Kajitan. We will be doing some Patreon exclusive podcasts when the season's over, Brandon. Some of them suggested by our producers. So that's one of the perks of being a producer, is you get to suggest a topic for a Patreon podcast. So we got some of those coming down the pipeline. Brandon, and a final thank you to our producers. Many of them, I'd say maybe 75% of these people, have been with us the entire season, and really sincerely appreciate the support.
Yes, I've got my hand on my heart right now thanking you. You guys are the best. Really appreciate it. All right, so don't forget to subscribe if you haven't already to the Always Cheating podcast. So anytime there's a new episode, it's right there. Boom. However you listen to your podcast, Apple Podcasts, we're on Spotify. Go there. If that's where you like to listen to music and podcasts, you can find us on Spotify. Also SoundCloud, where you can make comments on our MP3 files or download the MP3 files. Wow, what a feature that is, Josh. Stitcher, Google Play, Acast, wherever fine podcasts are available. And if you don't feel like doing the Patreon thing, what also helps us and costs you nothing is to go onto iTunes or those providers and give us a 5-star review or leave a review. We appreciate that. Follow us on the socials, Twitter at Hell Cheaters, Instagram at Hell Cheaters, Facebook is facebook.com/IWasCheating. Send us an email, hailcheaters@gmail.com, or visit our website. You know the URL, Josh. Tell the people. Tell the good people.
It's alwayscheating.com. You know, if you visit alwayscheating.com, Brian, we do have a Always Cheating shop too. And if you are if you run a mini league and you're looking for something to get for the winner of your mini league, perhaps you can consider an Always Cheating mug or t-shirt or sweatshirt.
Those are great ideas, and those are good products, fine products that we provide on the Always Cheating shop. All right, that's a wrap. Josh, you do the sign off. That's your job.
All right. For Brandon Kelly, I have been Josh Landon. Thank you for listening to RIP John Singletary.
Indeed. RIP. What, that was perhaps the weirdest ending to a podcast ever.
Well, I thought you would be like, I thought you'd just go into the Empicani thing, but then you just said RIP as well. So I was like, oh, wow.